Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Sustainable Textiles from Finland. This week, we're going to talk about linen and the production of it in Finland. My name is Ann-Sofie.
And my name is Vilma.
And today, it's the 2nd of March, 2023, and we are located in Karja and Vaasa.
We often hear that the world as we know it today is no longer sustainable, that natural reserves are running out, and we cannot continue like this. However, the solution is not so much to deprive ourselves, but rather to envision life differently, to change the paradigm. In 1987, the World Commission on Environment and Development published a report also known as the Brundtland Report, where sustainability was defined as sustainable development is development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. Several initiatives exist to imagine the world differently and to rethink our relationship with the world we live in, to question our priorities and to seek a more sustainable lifestyle. To do this, many sectors need to be rethought, and this is also the case for the textile industry to tackle.
The textile industry is one of the most polluting industries in the world. The consumption of clothes increases while their lifespan decreases. These clothes that are sold at low cost have, however, a very high environmental and social cost. According to research done by the European Parliament, 79 billion cubic meters of water were used by the textile and clothing industry in 2015. For example, a lot of water is used when growing and producing cotton, which is the most used natural material in clothing. Concerning synthetic materials, their manufacture requires the use of chemicals, and when they are thrown away, they are very difficult to recycle. On the other hand, linen is a historically used material, which have gradually disappeared in favor of more profitable materials, present many advantages such as less water use and the ability to be recycled.
Most of linen production is located in Europe, which benefits from the necessary richness of the soil and the ideal climate. Linen has several advantages. It is a material that allows local production, which decreases negative environmental impacts from long transportation distances. Linen has also all the necessary qualities to develop and exist in Finland, as it has previously been farmed here as well. Furthermore, according to CFDA, the linen fiber is resistant, which allows it to last over time, and as a natural fiber, it is easily recycled. This project considers sustainability in different ways, such as allowing an alternative to the polluting textile industry as we know it, but also to reintroduce the plant in its natural environment, which benefits for the soil and other species are multiple. It also allows the transmission of know-how and another way of cultivating the soil.
Today we get to hear from Leena Pesu, who comes to tell us about her project Linen Stories. Their goal is to reintroduce the culture of linen production back into Finland. Linen Stories invests in building industry know-how and the production chains necessary. They do cultivation experiments together with organic farms and look for the varieties and cultivation methods best suited to Finnish conditions. Leena will also tell us about Fibershed, which focuses on regional and regenerative fiber systems. We can hear more about Linen Stories and the future of linen production in Finland from Leena herself. Enjoy!
So, today we are talking to Leena Pesu, who is involved in reviving natural fibers in Finland. She is the CEO of Linen Stories and advocates for the production of local natural fibers through Fibershed Finland and other collaborations. And we'd like to thank you for agreeing to talk to us and welcome to the podcast.
Sure, thanks for the invite.
So, we'd like to begin by hearing about your background and how did you get involved in Linen Stories?
Yeah, sure. Well, my background is in whole other businesses to begin with. So this may be a kind of a part of some sort of a midlife crisis to start thinking that what is really the impact of what I'm doing with my life, and with all this environmental crisis and climate change and everything. In my previous job, I was feeling that what I'm doing is really too abstract and too kind of distant from all the burning problems there are in the world. And I started to search for what could I possibly do that would kind of be closer to my heart and where I could use the all the experiences and skills that I had learned. So I was a consultant for a long time before jumping into this. And when I went through that soul search, I noticed that what really is close to my heart is sustainable fashion. I started to kind of study that subject and all the different, for instance, environmental impact of different materials. And then I ran into linen as one of the most ecological materials. And it struck me that, okay, both linen and wool are on the top of the list on what is the most environmentally friendly materials, the way you can produce textiles. And both of those could be produced in Finland. And then I started to search into why are they not produced. And I found that, okay, wool is getting some kind of a revival at the moment. But for some reason, linen, which used to be so abundant in here, and we all have grannies who have grown that and made their own towels and stuff from linen, then it just doesn't exist. So I just started to get into it and talk to my brother, who's a farmer. And they said that, well, why don't you give it a try? And I said that, okay, I'd like to try what it's like to grow linen. And then they said, well, come grow it on our field or on a corner there. And then it all got started. And I just fell in love with the material and decided to jump into business and really bring it back to Finland. And that's the mission in Linen Stories. So that's a long, long story short.
Yeah. Okay. So it's mentioned on Linen Stories website that linen has a long tradition in Finland, but there has been no production here for like decades. That, do you know about this? Can you tell us briefly about the history of linen production in Finland and how was it produced and why did the production stop?
It's a couple of hundred years ago. It was grown in every single farm because people used to grow their own fabrics and got their own fibers. But then gradually, when cheaper fabrics like cotton started to come to the market, it was much easier to go and just buy that cheap cotton and people didn't want to grow it any longer. There was a bit of a revival after the Second World War when it was difficult to get fabrics again, and then people kind of tried to start it again, but again then war ended and situation got easier, so again you would just forget about that again and revert to cotton and then synthetic material. So it started and it stopped several times. There was also an era of industrial production, kind of more than what was in the past kind of 200 years ago, but in about 20 or 30 years ago, there was an interest towards growing linen into more kind of technical applications and partly also for textiles. And there's a bit of that kind of that experience and those machines as well left from that era. But at that time, they couldn't make it economically viable. So it ended. So there was even a spinning mill in Finland in 2008 that then went bankrupt in 2008. It's not that reason, actually, that we had a kind of a production of linen.
Was it small scale?
It was relatively small if you compare to how much linen is produced globally. But even on an industrial scale.
Okay. Like if we talk a little bit about linen, it's often said that it's a sustainable fiber. But what are the benefits? Like what makes it sustainable? And like what are the benefits compared to other fibers?
Well, it all starts from the plant itself. So the plant is called flax. And when it's processed in the yarn, then it turns into linen. And the flax as a plant is something that when it grows, it actually doesn't take a lot of nutrients. It also doesn't take a lot of water. So you don't need a lot of kind of irrigation like cotton, for instance, which takes a lot of water. And then actually when it's growing, the root system is such that it actually improves the soil structure. So when you grow flax on a field on a given year, on the next year, you need to grow something different in there. There's a principle of rotation. And once you have grown flax in there, the next crop is actually doing much better because the soil is in such a good shape after flax. So those are some of the good environmental aspects of the production. So it really minimal inputs and really good for the soil.
Okay. Are there like other positive aspects of linen, or are there some negative aspects related to either linen itself or in this production?
Well, some other positive aspects that there are also, again, if you compare to other materials, is that it's very durable. If you have a fabric that is made out of linen compared to cotton, for instance, then it's much more durable. So you can make a cloth that will last much longer. So again, kind of reduces the amount of consumption. And then the textile fibers are actually only like 15% of the entire flax plant. There's the rest of the plant can also be used for different uses. And a lot of those uses are actually something where flax or the side streams out of that, that production could actually replace some fossil materials, so like peat, for instance. Let's take an animal bedding, for instance, which in Finland oftentimes when you need to put something in the stables for the horses and for the cows, for instance. And what they use at the moment a lot is either peat or then wood. And you could actually, instead of those materials, you could use a part of the flax. And it's something that absorbs moisture a lot and absorbs the bad smell. And then you can take it together with the materials that the animals produce. You can take it back to the field and it will compost in there. So there's this whole kind of a system of the main products and then the side streams that are all kind of really beneficial to the nature and the system, farming system.
Okay.
You asked about the negative aspects. Well, I can't really think of many. Of course, there's one might think that, okay, if you use the field for growing flax, then you're not growing food on that field. So it's kind of take that area out of food production. But it's also, it's not a perennial plant. It's only there kind of 1 year at a time, and it improves the crops for the next year. So in a way, that's kind of reduces the negative amount in there. A second thing is that, of course, if you do produce it in a way that it was done earlier, that you, if you take the flax plant and you ret it to separate the fiber out of the plant and you do it in a river like was done earlier, that will pollute the rivers, but that's not done any longer. So that's, I can't think of any negative aspect.
Okay, yeah. Well, we were looking a little bit into research that there are certain potential negative impacts, mm-hmm. if like chemicals are used or pesticides or fertilizers. So do you have knowledge about this?
Yeah, that's you're correct. Yeah, the pesticides and herbicides are sometimes used. They are not used as much as they are on cotton, for instance. And I've been so focused on organic linen, and then none of those chemicals are used. So I didn't come to think of that. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but if we go a little bit talk about your company, Linen Story. So according like to your website, so you're trying to get linen production going again in Finland. So can you tell us more about your mission and why did you want to reintroduce linen production in Finland?
Well, it was just, as I said, that was just something that I noticed that, okay, this is really super good material, environmentally friendly. And I have to say, I can't even explain it rationally. I just fell in love with the material and I decided, okay, this needs to come back and we need to produce it again. And when I started with that and started to learn more about the plant and more about the materials, there's just more and more stuff that comes out and you just understand that, okay, this could be a really good opportunity also for farmers to get a new plant that they can get really good profits out of, and the soil improving aspects and the opportunities for replacing these fossil materials. There's just so much in there. So it is more of a mission that is pushing me forward somehow, thinking that, okay, I want to build an ecosystem of companies around this and to make it a kind of a lot of good things for many people and for many, many, many companies around that.
Okay. So like what stage are you right now? What have you done so far and kind of what kind of actions have you taken?
I've been doing piloting so far. And so this is more of a learning the aspects of all the way from the farming all the way to processing and producing into yarns and those different side streams. And I'm at the stage at the moment that's where I start to have a good kind of a picture on what is needed to scale it up. And I'm just in the process of starting to get some funding or starting to look for funding, start those discussions and having a proper business plan around all this. So we have been together with some organic farmers. We have been doing more of a pilot farming now 3 years in a row and then producing fibers out of that.
What has been like, has there been like certain successes or like what has been challenging? Like during this, when you've been setting up Linen Stories?
Well, there's been a lot of challenges and I've taken those as learning opportunities. Some of the challenges are related to the weather and the climate. And the problems usually what have been growing flax in Finland is that the autumns can be wet and the autumns can be too cold. But we've actually have it quite the opposite way, kind of maybe it's the climate change, but it's been just too dry. So those risks for the farming have really materialized and we needed to even destroy some of the crops because of that. So that has been a bit of a challenge. But also at the same time, I've been very happy that we have been learning a lot and working with different farmers and working with a bit different techniques and different soils and looking at, in a way, what is needed to make it work and what can go wrong. So now we have a lot more to build on. going forward.
Has something been surprising, like something you didn't anticipate?
What would be particularly surprising? I think maybe the amount of work that got. I mean, you understand that there are these different stages. You read about the stages in the farming and stages in the processing, but when you actually go through all of those, you realize that there is a reason why this is a material that is more expensive than other materials, and kind of is something that people have moved away from because it takes a lot of time and kind of a concentration in each stage to make it really succeed. But at the same time, when you do, it's really beautiful. And the moment when you break the plant and you start to separate the fiber, it comes out as a glossy, beautiful, long fiber. That's really amazing feeling.
Okay, if we talk about like sustainability or like ecological aspects, so how can you just describe like to like listeners, how has it been considered in your production?
Well, first and foremost, of course, the choice of materials that we work on, the flax is so environmentally friendly to begin with. We also made the choice to do it via organic farming if possible. And this is where some of the challenges come. So we might be doing both now in the early years. So, but really do minimize the chemicals and minimize all the kind of negative aspects to the soil. We would like to go organic. Also, what we want to do is to build the factories close to the areas where they are farmed or grown, so that all the transportation gets minimized in that sense. And also, in a sense, also to reduce the amount of transportation, then to also find the whole supply chain as much as possible, and all the clients as well locally, so that we can produce these local production chains, local supply chains.
You were mentioning earlier about the side streams of the flax, and so is this something you've already considered, or like how are the side streams being utilized?
Yeah, so far it's been mostly again just piloting and doing small scale experimentation and looking at potential partners in there. These are some of the things that I will need some more funding to really scale up in the next stage. But yes, there's a lot of opportunities that exist in there and are existing already in the main growing areas in Europe, where you have like 100,000 hectares of flax being grown. Then you also have this whole ecosystem running already. So a lot of those things can be kind of copied directly. But then I also think that there's a lot of skills and knowledge in Finland on how cellulose-based materials can be used, that there's also room for new innovations when we talk with new partners.
A little bit building on that, because you say on like your website that Linus Stories is building industry know-how and cellulose production chain. So how have you been doing this?
Well, first thing what I've been doing is that I got myself a small processing line to start really doing it on my own. So this is a small line that actually we just put the flax straw in there and it comes out so that the fiber is separated. And this is something that the kind of first transformation stage. And so this was something that I was hoping that could be scaled up for bigger production. But I noticed that capacity is not big enough for really ramping it up. So what I'm looking for is now maybe some partners to build a similar but bigger factory like that in Finland, and then looking for also for partners for the following stages. So I'm not looking at doing everything by myself or even with people joining Linen Stories, but rather building a group of companies that work well together and each using their own expertise on the particular material, so particular market segment, so that we can all kind of work well together.
So, I mean, like, can you tell us what are the main markets for Linen Stories? Like, then who are your most potential customers?
Well, the main products for us would be the textile fibers. And for those, then the main customers would be then either spinning mills, or then if I work together with the spinning mills and then sell the yarn, then it would be companies that make fabrics, or then brands that make fabrics themselves. And I'm hoping that they would be either in Finland or in the nearby regions, so that this closeness of the material production is kind of a benefit or advantage that carries on. But then in terms of the other side streams, then there are potential clients in construction, in agriculture, in animal husbandry, in gardening, and then even this innovative biomaterials. So there's a lot, and this is part where I'm not certain yet which one will pick up the best and which ones will become the most biggest clients, but it's a wide range of potential areas.
Yeah, is sustainable organizing like an important theme for these your potential clients?
At least the companies and brands that I have been talking to, it really is. And the way that they see is that one aspect is locality. That, for instance, I spoke with a carpenter that works on refurbishing old wooden houses, and linen is traditionally used as insulation material between the logs, and he was really excited to have found me via another carpenter. Mm. And saying that it's really amazing that he has project where the architect has specified that they need to have materials where you know the origin of the material, and it should be organic if possible. So they were like super, super excited that now they could actually get Finnish linen, and which is organically produced. So I mean, that's just one example, but the same things whomever I talk to, people are really excited that, okay, it is amazing that we could do this locally and organic, and have an environmentally friendly material replacing the other like peat, for instance.
You're also engaged in the nonprofit organization Fibershed Finland. Can you tell us more about the organization? Like, what does Fibershed do, and what are its aims in Finland?
Yeah, so this is something. Fibershed overall is an organization that started in California, and I ran into it a couple of years ago and read the book by the founder of that movement, Rebecca Burgess. And so what we do in Finland with the Fibershed Finland, we are an affiliate of the International Fibershed Organization and share in that sense the same missions of creating these regional fiber networks that are not only producing materials and fibers and natural dyes locally and within the vicinity of where it's being used, but also in a way that is protecting the soil and improving the soil and improving the climate and being enabling the living within the planetary boundaries for the people that are living in that region. So that's the same what we're trying to do in here, and but we're really in the beginning here and just starting to get organized and starting to get into what would really be the key aspects in Finland that we need to adapt to and what is really needed in here to fill the gaps that we have.
Yeah, because it's on Fibershed website, they say like it focuses on regional and regenerative fiber mm-hmm. systems. Like, can you explain what is meant by regional and regenerate? Like, how is it defined, and how do these systems improve the climate and soil?
Yeah, there's the two words. So one is first is the regional, and this is also where Becca also started in California. That she really started to look into that. Why do we produce fashion somewhere like in China or in distant regions? That why couldn't we do something close to where we live? And she started to look into what could be possible to produce in California where she was living. And then the whole idea grew that, okay, you should build these regional systems that see that what could be if you could build this complete supply chains within like 100-mile radius, or 150, 160 kilometers. And that has been often the focus point for a lot of those local networks as well. We chose to work within the entire Finland because there's only 6 million of us, so it doesn't make sense to narrow it down to such small areas. But anyway, keeping it kind of a regional and knowing that whatever you work on and whomever you work on, they are close by kind of geographically. But then the regenerative refers more to how those fibers are being produced and regenerative agriculture as a whole. So there are ways of growing plants and ways of raising animals that are more beneficial to the soil than others. And those are the kind of techniques that Fibershed then advocates for and tries to promote so that people would, for instance, if they grow lambs, that they would let them graze in different pastures every day so that the grass will regenerate and then will also regenerate the soil. And once the soil is in a good condition, it will absorb carbon dioxide and hence it will improve the climate as well. So if it wasn't too complex of an
no,
explanation.
No,
yes,
we've been discussing these issues quite a bit. Mm. But so if you talk about Fibershed Finland and the concentrate on just these regional regenerative fiber communities mm. in Finland, so what kind of communities are you specifically working with, and like what do they do differently?
What we are working on in kind of groups of different fibers. So we're looking at wool producers separately and trying to network them and show them how to, unless they're already kind of producing wool in this way, that maybe teach them to change their habits a little bit. In a way with wool, I wouldn't be so much worried in Finland. I mean, we don't have this kind of industrial farming for lambs in here. So every lamb farm is really kind of ethically organized at the moment, but we're just trying to learn about how exactly things are done. Is there something that we can maybe improve and nudge people forward into doing things even more environmentally friendly way? But then the other fibers like linen or flax or then hemp or nettle, these are all something where the production doesn't really even exist yet. There are people who are producing hemp, and but more for technical purposes, and fibers that is more looking more at textile fibers. So in with regards to these bast fibers, so which is nettle and linen and hemp, then it's more like trying to grow the network and trying to create knowledge and inspire people and inspire producers to start producing those. And in that sense, all of those plants are such that they improve the soil when they are being grown. So that makes them regenerative and pushing farmers then towards the regenerative agricultural practices altogether.
Would you say that there are some kind of like societal changes created through like linen stories and fiber sheds work? Are you able to make like a bigger change?
Well, I think that would come from also from creating the knowledge and communicating about it, not only to producer but also to consumers, that people would understand that and via examples and via projects that for instance, if we would do something that other fiber sheds in other countries have done, what we could do is, for instance, have a community project where a village could come together and grow a patch of flax, for instance, and then they would learn to appreciate the soil and learn to appreciate the fact that it takes work and effort to produce the textiles that you're wearing, and maybe making you more kind of a knowledgeable and appreciative of the fact that what you wear matters and it has impacts to the nature as well and to people though who are working and living around you. So those are the kind of a big goals that we would have that with the work that we do and communication that we do and projects and things that we do, that we could push that message and make people understand better these type of things and nudge them forward and create the demand, and so that producers would have people that would want to buy their fibers as well, and in that sense make it a kind of a not a vicious circle but kind of a good circle and spiraling upwards.
How well have you so far, like, what is the awareness or knowledge of this? Like, I only heard about this, you know, for the first time, that there's, you know, like linen production, like, or there is an aim to produce linen in Finland. That is it, or is it even an aim yet, or are you trying to keep still a low profile? Or?
Yeah, maybe that kind of answers the question already, that if you haven't heard about it, I don't think many have. Well, it has been quite low key so far, because I wanted to personally with my company, I wanted to first make sure that we can do it and can kind of can make it happen, and then only start marketing more widely. But I mean, it has been communicated in social media and have some people who are into fibers and into sustainable fashion. I think they may have noticed and part of those may know about that. So it's gaining ground. Fibers at Finland is something that we've had it kind of in the starting tracks for like 2 years now. First, with the COVID, it was a bit difficult to get going, because you had a feeling that, okay, since we cannot meet, we can't get it really going. And then there's been a lot of other things that have come on the way. So I'm not surprised if there are very few people who know about fiber shed at the moment. But this is something we're hoping to change during this year, that really focusing on communications and getting members to our group and having them also spread the message in their own community. So really starting to focus really on those, bringing the message around and telling what other affiliates are doing and why are these things important. So hopefully a year from now that answer would be a lot different.
Yeah. So in your opinion, like, what is needed to further develop regenerative fiber production in Finland or even like elsewhere?
You know, this is a really, really good question, and maybe a complex question that I think about all every day. I think what is needed is somehow a good collaboration between many different parties, both the producers or small businesses that produce the fibers and small businesses that process the fibers and make yarns out of it and make textiles out of those yarns, and then the consumers that are willing to purchase those products. So the small businesses, and then also I think that we need the public organizations, be it government or the regional organizations, that would support it and bring people together and provide some funding in the initial phases for the projects for pushing it forward. And I don't know, universities and schools that would teach the students about these aspects and teach the skills that are required. So I think there's a lot of small things that would need to be happening at the same time so that we are not, I mean, we alone, I as Linen Stories, I cannot do this alone. I can't start flax production on my own. We as Fibershed Finland Association, we can't do all of this all on our own, but we can maybe be somehow the driving force and networking and bringing people and the different organizations together to push it forward. But I think it really, really needs good collaboration from a lot of different parties.
Just as a last question, like according to some like statistics, like only 1% of textile fibers being consumed worldwide are linen. Then how do you see the future of linen?
I see a positive future. I've seen this. These figures are also understood that they are increasing. So there's more demand for linen as more and more brands and consumers are looking for natural fibers and more sustainable ones. What is a bit of a hurdle there is that it takes land. And I just understood that through discussions with some partners in France is that even there, the cultivation areas are not growing, even though there's growing demand, but still there's not farmers that want to increase their area. So I think we will see more and more demand growing, but supply not growing. So there's room for more areas, like in Scandinavia, to grow it. And at the same time, with the climate change, we need more areas up north to grow the plants. So in that sense, I see it as a positive one. I see it as something that could be a positive thing for Finland, for Scandinavia and Nordic countries overall.
We'd like to thank you very much for talking to us, and we really wish you and Linen Stories all the best and success.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
And to our listeners, thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you learned a great deal about reviving natural fiber production. Till next time.